and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy shutdown, slim down, slow down. How's it going?
We're entering our third week here.
Happy complete implosion of the Republican Party. Hooray. Rude Pundit coming up is usual comedian Dino Abdallah and, of course, Eric Bollert of Media Matters. All right, so where do we even start now with what the... let's see. How about my favorite tweets of the weekend?
Okay.
Harry Reid tweeted, Obamacare is no longer Republicans' number one issue. Their number one issue is to divert attention from the fools they've made of themselves on Obamacare. That part is true.
Yeah.
You don't hear much talk anymore, but that's the problem. They have no idea what they're fighting for anymore.
Nope.
Just to save face, I guess.
Well, there are different factions fighting for different things, and so the party just looks in complete disarray.
Yeah.
There's no unity there.
And there's a little clown show with Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin. At
a little racist clown show.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. Pour Me Coffee tweets, if you're brainstorming things you need in exchange for not crashing world economy, something went horribly wrong in your political life. Pour Me Coffee again. You couldn't blame Boner if he just stared at people and played turkey in the straw in his mind as they talked. Yeah, that's the other thing going on. The other little intrigue is they changed the House rule without anybody noticing.
Yeah.
So that not just anybody can put a bill on the floor, it has to be the House leadership.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, it has to be Cantor.
Right.
It can't be Boner.
Right.
There's a power play going on there.
Yeah, y'all finish up your fight over there, and then let us know how things work out. What do we want? A functioning government not held hostage by a reckless, ideologically extreme minority. When do we want it? Now. That's a little clunky, but I think you need to work through that.
Yeah. It's a little doughy.
Crazy story. You're not going to believe this. Republicans shut down the governor and are still fighting with each other over why. That's true. That part is true.
Yep.
Bette Midler, did you see this?
No.
She tweeted, I've often wondered what it would take to bring a modern government to its knees. Turns out it's one poll from Canada.
There you go.
You bet. And Senator Harry Reid also tweeted, Republicans are not doing us a favor by opening the government and raising the debt ceiling. They would be doing their jobs. Thank you, Harry. Yeah, as we were saying, so the president rejected their latest, whatever that was.
Whatever.
Friday, their latest hostage demand.
Yep.
Good for him.
Good.
So now it looks like it moves to the Senate, correct?
It's in the Senate.
Yeah.
They had deliberations all weekend long. They adjourned yesterday at 5 o'clock Eastern with no deal. But Harry Reid said he was a little bit optimistic because he and McConnell are actually talking.
Yes. Someone actually sent me a thing about a turtle coming out of hibernation. It says a lot about what's happening now.
Yeah.
This because that's where everyone was saying, where was Yertle? Where has Yertle been?
He's been talking to Harry
Reid.
Right,
well, now he is. I need to do some scientific research. Hibernating turtles still aware of what's going on around them. This is what was happening. He was hibernating, Chris, but he was aware.
Yes.
And now he has poked his head out and is talking to Harry Reid. Here's some, it's Science Stack, actually. They partially embed themselves in the mud pond. That's a euphemism for the Republican Party. Right, the mud pond. They turn off energy taxing functions and seem completely out of it. I don't know how you'd tell the difference with a Republican.
Yeah.
It's like a shutdown. It's a personal shutdown. Researchers assumed they entered a coma-like condition of complete dysfunction and lack of awareness. Well, that's more just the Tea Party faction.
Right.
However, new findings challenge that notion. Turtles turn out to be pretty in tune with what's going on around them. That's according to ScienceNow.com.
Okay.
Hibernating turtles are not comatose, but remain vigilant during overwintering.
Overwintering?
Right. And see, only Republicans use the word winter as a verb.
Sure.
Either hibernate or overwinter.
Can you underwinter?
Yertle has been overwintering. So that's what was happening, but that was, according to science, that's why he's paying attention. He was paying attention to everything going on.
All right.
And now he's popped his little head out of his shell. And good morning, Jim.
But even then, what the Senate comes up with, if they come up with anything, has to go to the House.
Right.
Where they're not going to approve anything. We're going into default on Thursday. That's my thinking.
Oh, by the way, I was wondering, you know, this disaster. Well, now it's not just one, it's a bunch of polls. I was trying to think what they were going to say about that. Fake. That's what Rush said. Then they come up with a straight poll.
Yeah.
It is really incredible. It does not matter whether it's the Mitt Romney thing during the election. They're just the math that shows them losing horribly is wrong.
Exactly.
Math
and
is a liberal bias.
The drive by meters, they come up with this fake poll to prop them up.
And then they're stunned when they lose.
Right. And then they'll lose
like
the house.
Like they didn't see it coming.
They'll lose the house in 2014.
Right.
Be like, what?
It's
what?
Like Kenyan Nazi voodoo, my friend.
And then they're going to have to put together another study to figure out what went wrong. And it's going to be the same exact
they
same result.
They just ignored the last postmortem.
Wrong.
Right.
They're asshats.
Instead of doing anything that the last postmortem recommended, it's like they're shooting the body. You know, one of those movies when you're just like pissed, you're like, all right, he's already dead, but I'm just going to shoot him a bunch more. And then, like, they'll kick him in the head. You know, those old, like, just saying.
What movies did you watch? Good Lord.
Drop him in the wood chipper. Well, whatever.
The Republican porn channel.
I don't even think Quentin Tarantino wrote a scene like that.
There are a lot of movies. Come on, someone help me. Where somebody kicks the guy in the head and it's already dead. Come on. See? Okay, so.
Bambi. No.
Yeah, no.
It's like their
that
party,
darn cat.
Their
no.
party is already dead. And
Flubber.
Just, right. No, not Flubber.
You have selected Flubber.
No.
Computer says no.
All right. Yeah, Julie sends me, Steph, the headline in the New York Times, GOP's hopes to take Senator Dimming. Wow. Yeah, or even the House at this point. Just wait till October 3rd when the half-low info idiots who voted the GOP teep country crash and cons in to save them from Obamacare and put that Negro POTUS in his place don't get their Social Security checks or their military pensions or their veterans benefits and doctors and hospitals start telling them to F off because Medicare is not functional. Well, I'd like to see the president go on TV Monday and announce he's arresting congressional Republicans for sedition or under Bush-era Executive Order 51 and paying our debts with the 14th Amendment. Yeah, I, you know what? I might be down with that. Oh, yikes, here comes another poll. That must be a fake poll. GQRR poll. Democrats now enjoy a 10-point generic ballot advantage. We're nearing wave territory, folks. This one is by a 16-point margin, 43% to 22%. The voters blame Republicans in Congress. That's a little lower than the 22 points that... Rather than President Obama and the Democrats for the government shutdown, perhaps most important on the generic ballot, Democrats now lead by double digits, 46 to 36.
You know my problem with generic Democrat polls, though, is that it doesn't take into account gerrymandering.
Right.
It's not a Democrat poll.
Well, no,
why are you using that word? It's a Democrat poll. It's a fake poll.
You completely missed my point there.
I know, but I'm saying that's
why... It doesn't take into account gerrymandering.
Right, but there are other polls that are showing the gerrymandering may not matter. That's the stunning thing.
I don't think a whole lot is going to change because of gerrymandering. Mm-hmm. They've gerrymandered solid Republican districts and solid Democratic districts.
The PPP poll last week, which was the second most accurate poll in the whole last election cycle, said that the Republicans are in very real danger of losing the House, to which I say we. We.
No.
I'm just thinking of those Texas districts that are, you know, 200 miles long and 10 miles wide to make sure that they only get Republicans
in there. Oh, here's the whatcha-whos. It's the NBC Wall Street Journal. Americans blame Republicans for the government shutdown by a 22-point margin. We covered that one on Friday, and the party's favorability rating had sunk to the lowest level in the history of the poll. Wow. They're going to have to create new polls. These ones are not looking good. Somebody tweeted, leaderless, rudderless, abandoned by their rank and file, the great once great Republican Party going the way of the Whigs. And part of the problem, this clown show that we just talked about, Chris, what is it called? The Values Voters
Summit.
What a clown show. The headline here is, conservative activists don't really care if they're hurting the Republican Party. The Value Voters Summit, no one is worried about the polls showing their anti-Obamacare crusade doing damage to the GOP's image. They keep saying the same thing. I'm not a Republican, I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what, though? This year, it got so little coverage compared to years past. I was looking for some sound bites from it. Nobody covered it.
Mm.
Guess who won the straw poll?
Ted Cruz.
The straw man.
Captain Cuckoo Pants.
Yeah.
Senator Wacko Bird.
Yeah.
Yes. This tells you everything you need to know. The guy that painted them into this corner, that led them down this disaster. They bought the undercoating, Jim.
Mm.
Senator Ted Cruz won the Values Voters Summit straw poll thing.
Even with all the heckling.
Yeah, no, those were, I guess he said, you know, paid Obama operatives
right.
or something.
Which you might call a straw man argument.
I think they were Democratic activists, though.
Probably, yeah. He took 42%, physician, Dr. Ben Carson, that's the black doctor that says Obamacare is as bad as slavery. That's that guy.
Yeah, we have
Dr. Ben Casey said that?
No,
Ben Casey didn't.
Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is
analogy
slavery,
is
in a way. Because
slavery.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because it is making all of us subservient to the government.
Oh, boy.
You nitwit. God.
That is the worst
analogy
since
slavery.
Where
did you buy your degree?
That's actually the worst analogy since Rush made the same analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that guy. And Frothy. Santorum coming from behind once again to take second place. Cruz took 42%. Ben Carson, that guy. And Santorum both put 13%. Rand Paul came in fourth with 6%.
And this here came in with 3%.
Yes.
Exactly. Family Research
Council. The triple majority.
Uh-huh. The Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
No, mother blood, no!
What? No, different guy? Okay.
Warns not to take the results as a predicator of the 2016 presidential landscape. You think? Thanks for the warning. Now a warning?
Now a warning?
Really? We thought one of you.
Now a warning?
He said, I think it's more one of the qualities that really excite people. And it comes down to leadership. Who's providing bold leadership?
Bold.
That would be your Ted Cruz.
It's bold, all right.
Exciting. A bold, exciting, disastrous plan like that's imploded on the Republican Party in an epic, historic proportion.
Yeah. Bold, like those letters on the red sign saying, stop!
Did you see how he and Sarah Palin, both non-veterans, commandeered that Veterans March?
Did you see that?
Veterans
that
March
picture
yesterday?
Says all you need to know about where the Republican Party is. Mm-hmm. Dopey Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz. And there's like another guy behind them saluting.
Waving Confederate flags.
Oh, no. Really?
As a Confederate flag.
As a symbol of American patriotism.
Yes. Uh-huh. They're at the monument they shut down.
Right.
Right. And so they're there with
you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Guy, you see the guy with a Confederate flag and the, I mean, dear God.
That's what I just said.
Right.
Oh,
but I mean, the cross.
Oh, my God. Oh,
really?
Yeah. And then they marched to the White House. And told Obama, you shouted to Obama to put down his Koran and come out and talk to them.
Right. Awesome. It is being awesome.
And when White House security told them to stay off the fence, they called them Obama's Kenyan Gestapo or something like that.
Right, that he brought with him from Kenya where he was born. Okay.
Right.
And so, Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin led that march.
God bless America, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is the state of our union. 19 minutes after the hour. I need to shake off that first segment.
The bland leading the bland.
Ooh, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, who said, how awful are Ted Cruz and his Cruzettes? They have done the impossible. They have made Americans look back at Bush 2 era and the most reckless wrecking ball in American history with relative nostalgia. Who said that?
Rupert Murdoch.
No. Maureen Dowd.
Close.
A piece yesterday. Uh-huh. A mad tea party. Who said, with 78% of Americans feeling blue about the country being on the wrong track, according to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, many consider the GOP's imperialistic unilateralists less loco than the narcissistic anarchists. As grandiose delusions go, global domination makes more sense than self-annihilation. If I was in the Senate now, I'd kill myself, Chris Christie said on Friday.
Elwood P. Dowd. Harvey and I warm ourselves by these golden moments.
Fabulous. No, Maureen Dowd.
Ah,
thank you.
So close.
Good guess. Very good impression. Thank you. All right, let's go to Carlos in Chicago. Hey, Carlos.
Yeah, while I agree with Chris that the gerrymandering is going to keep the wackadoo birds in Congress, like Ted Cruz, because they have a crazy constituency, where this is really going to hurt them, where this, like, just bang to the Republican brand is going to hit, are the moderate Republicans, the ones who run in swing districts, who just won by a narrow margin.
Well, Carlos, we've got something happening I think we haven't had before. We have the GOP establishment money guys. They're running primary opponents against the wacko birds, and the Tea Party guys are putting money behind wackier wacko birds. So, you know, I think this is only good for us. They literally have two different factions.
Under the fringes completely, which is good for us, but let's hope there's no more meltdowns like this and we can actually grab control of the House.
Yeah. I mean, I at this point think anything might be possible. Who would have thought we would have gotten to this week? Oh, it's such a sad ballad, isn't it?
Fighting soldiers for the Cokes. They're mostly just old white folks. 100 eyes, 2 points you see, but not that much to join the Tea Party. Silver hair upon their heads. These are folks their relatives dread. 100 years, their median age. At the Tea Party is where they put their rage. Holding signs up in the air. Keep your government hands off my Medicare. 100 things they'll get wrong, you see.
Yep.
We don't need facts in the Tea Party.
Yay!
Hey.
Rocky Mountain Mike!
Except the Green Berets.
That
theme.
Says all you need to know. That dopey picture of Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin. At the...
I heard that.
I guess the Million Vet March, which this was yesterday.
A little less than a million?
Yeah, way less than a million. They have officially condemned Cruz's and Palin's appearance there.
Good.
So that's a good thing.
The headline, this is our friend BobSeska.com. Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz stormed the World War II Memorial, just like Normandy. Opportunism knocks. Crowd converged on the World War II Memorial and National Mall, pushing through barriers Sunday morning to protest the memorial's closing under the government shutdown.
They caused.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee and Ted Cruz are among those there.
Non-veterans.
Right?
Yep.
Who were behind the government shutdown along with Sarah Palin, please and thank you. Tear down these walls, the crowd chanted. Oh, maybe a little Reagan homage there.
Oh, God.
That's funny. This is how ridiculous our... country has become.
Those darn park rangers.
Protesters.
They're like Nazis.
Right.
How dare they shut the whole thing down?
God Bless America and other patriotic songs as they entered.
Oh my God.
Here it is. Oh, here's the one you were talking about, Chris. D.C. protesters wave Confederate flag. Tell Obama to put the Koran down.
Yep.
Oh, God. Okay.
You know that makes you traitors.
Okay.
Waving the Confederate flag.
Yeah. Ted Cruz said, this is the people's memorial. Let me ask you a simple question. Why is the federal government spending money to erect barricades to keep veterans out of this memorial?
Oh, shut up.
Because you closed it, you big dope.
Oh, the barricades.
Not all Canadians are that stupid.
Yeah, those present were all agreed on the specifics of their grievances. As one protester put it, there's a three-part focus, veterans, impeachment, and the truckers.
What?
Oh, that whole trucker thing, that was a big bust.
Oh, look.
Okay, all right. One speaker went as far as saying the president is Muslim and separately urged the crowd of hundreds to initiate a peaceful uprising. I call upon all of you to wage a second American nonviolent revolution. Urge the president to get up, put the Koran down, get off his knees, and go figuratively come out with his hands up. Said that guy from Freedom Watch. Okay.
Wow.
So that happened.
So he wants to arrest the President of the United States.
All right. No, he wants him to give up.
Yeah.
Rude Pundit next.
What the hell? Who is this?
These are my dirt bike girlfriend.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, she has small breasts, but she makes up for it by smoking.
Ha 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 ha. Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34, right, minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Monday, everybody.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, sir?
Oh, I'm great.
Now, I have perused your very rude, I guess it would be advice to the president. But you say the constitutional crisis we deserve is the one that we need. This is really anybody's guess at this point, how this is playing out this week, right?
Nah, Chris is right. We're going to default.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Unless, of course, you know, this whole time that Obama has been saying that, you know, he's not going to do the 14th Amendment solution, and that's, you know, that says that the United States shall pay its debts. And he's only been, you know, saying no to keep it out of the discussion. And then, you know, surprise, surprise, on midnight on Wednesday, he decides to do it.
Yeah.
And declares, we're paying our debts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've already started impeachment proceedings for I can't remember what now. I mean, his general Kenyan-ness, for
you
one.
Know,
so,
but, you know, I was actually on my drive to work this morning. I was thinking, not about Columbus, strangely.
Right.
But
oh, happy Columbus Day.
Oh, that's
yes,
right.
Yes. Happy Native Slaughter Day.
Thank you.
But I was actually thinking, you know, Republicans are such, you know, jerks right now that I was thinking if we do go into default, I wonder if they would start impeachment against Obama because he didn't follow the Constitution and pay the debts.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on the 14th Amendment thing. I love you that you say no wonder Republicans have lost their minds now that Obama has said at long last there is some that he will not eat. I mean, they're just, they seem flabbergasted because they had sort of no other plan than that, right?
Right.
That
the president just thought, well, he's kind of at least caved somewhat every time. And wait a minute, he's not caving this time? You mean we can't just keep doing what we're doing and face no consequences at all?
Well, but I mean, what, as you say, the surprise should not be on what they're doing because, as you've often said, in a way that only you can, mother will their mothers, the rude pundit has said on numerous occasions, it's just what mother do. So they're kind of true to form.
Right. They're going to do what they're going to do. And, you know, everybody's saying, oh, they have no goal this time. Well, they never really had a goal any other time. So I'm actually sort of loving Harry Reid at this point and coming back and saying, because, you know, apparently they had a deal that was before Boehner turned around and listened to the Tea Partiers, they had this deal that was, okay, we'll leave the sequester cuts in place and we'll just pass everything, all right, and we'll, you know, deal with the sequester after. And, you know, once they came back and said, no, now we want to defund Obamacare, too. I love that right now Harry Reid's saying, yeah, you know all those sequester cuts we agreed to continue? Nah, that's off the table now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his tweet said it all, right, about, you know, the only thing, they're not talking about Obamacare anymore. They're trying to distract from the fools they've made of themselves on Obamacare. Now it's like that one guy is the poster child, the one that said, well, we don't know what, we're not even sure what we want. Yeah. I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
They're looking to save face somehow.
Right now, the Democrats are dragging the Republicans to the middle of the Capitol and saying, you see that load you dumped in the middle of the Capitol? Bad. And rubbing their nose in it.
Swatting their nose with a rolled-up newspaper.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, so, as Chris was saying, so now what happens? It goes to the Senate. You know, Harry Reid.
Well, it's in the Senate
and,
now.
Right.
Yeah.
He and Mitch McConnell are talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking and there's no deal yet and you know, who knows? I just keep hearing all this tea leaf reading.
Yeah, Susan Collins may be in on the discussions.
It's funny, it's not just Susan Collins. It's like Susan Collins and the women of the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, saying, "Wow, these guys are just total D-bags. Let's see if we can solve ourselves."
And here's where we're at. The Senate Democratic leadership rejected Collins' plan Saturday afternoon. It locks in the current level of sequestration minus another $20 billion in 2014 and makes changes to Obamacare.
Yeah.
Somebody said, why would the Democrats ever support that? It's crazy it got this far.
Right.
That's a compromise? Like, what?
Well, but I think what's going on now is that's Collins' opening play. and right. and now she's negotiating some things. And, you know, again, this was one of those things that if they'd have come to Obama and said, look, you know, the Tea Party is annoying the hell out of us. Could we delay the medical device tax for a year just to shut them up for a while?
Right.
And, you know, and it's but they didn't do it that way. They didn't do it that way. The Tea Party wanted to go to war. The Tea Party wanted to blow the place up. So here's what you get. Here's what you get when you try. And there's actually this really great, you know, totally impossible to do, but really fun to think about thing in the Huffington Post where somebody was saying that the GOP shutdown is sedition. By the definition of sedition, if you're trying to prevent a law from an enacted law from taking effect or from it being used in the United States.
Hmm.
That's a if there's two or more people, that's a conspiracy to commit sedition.
Yeah, I agree with you. And by the way, I love that just when you think the polling can't get worse for Republicans, they give us this guy. Did you hear this guy? Millionaire GOP lawmakers tells furloughed workers to take out loans to pay their bills.
Oh, wow.
That guy, Senator Steve Pierce, Republican of New Mexico, has a suggestion for the hundreds of thousands of furloughed government workers worried about being able to pay their bills. Take out a loan. In a post on his Facebook page that was later deleted.
Yeah, does he run payday loan things?
He is the 46th richest member of Congress with an estimated worth of about $8 million.
46th riches? They have clubs that they don't allow him in.
Somebody in New Mexico said his constituents are among the poorest in the country, so going to the bank to take out a quick signature loan is not an option. We urge New Mexicans to call Pierce and ask for a loan from him. He's one of the richest millionaires in Congress. I mean, talk about these guys just don't get it, right?
Right, right, yeah. And I mean, you know, that's the thing is like they on NPR today they were saying, okay, you know, the furloughed workers and as well as the workers that are still on the job but not getting paid, their last paycheck was like 40% to 50% of what they usually make, and now we're coming up to their next pay period where they're going to get butkus. So yeah, the payday loan people in D.C. must be chomping at the bit going, you know, hey, we'll give you the best rates. We won't actually rape you with our rates. We'll just club you over the heads with them.
Yeah.
Our new baby seal rates. Come on in and get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, I need a little break from the shutdown, you know, debt default crisis. I went to see Gravity this weekend.
Oh
my God, is it stressful? Oh, I mean, I love Sandra Bullock, but that is stressful.
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it yet.
No.
I hear it's like torture porn in space.
Yes, she's great in it, but dear God, I needed a Valium. It is so sick.
I wouldn't want to see it in 3D just because I'm sure people will be throwing up.
Well, Sandra Bullock is spinning for
yes.
2.5 hours.
Let me just say it's a little implausible. She gives a great performance, and I'm like, oh, really? Oh, come on. It's not, of course, not any less believable what's going on in government today, but still.
Not any less believable than Speed.
It was like watching what it must be like to be.
Oh, that was the problem.
No,
spaceship went under 50 miles an hour.
Yes,
right.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah, no. My break this week was going into Queens to look at this area of all the street art, Five Points, mm-hmm. in Long Island City. And I'm standing there, you know, I'm looking at something, I'm like, is that a Banksy? Maybe it's a Banksy, I don't know. And then a cop walks up to me and hands me a flyer and says, hey, there's this 14-year-old autistic kid that walked out of his school and has been missing for days and we can't find him. If you see him, tell us. That's great. Hey, you know what? I'd rather go think about, you know, the destruction of the nation through default.
Yeah. I am with you. I really think if we get to Wednesday, he's got to do that. The fact that we were downgraded before we didn't even do this before, you know.
Right. Well, the IMF has said, this is a crisis. You have to do something. I know that Republicans are now going all flat earther on this, some of them, like, oh yeah, we can just pay a bill here and there. You know, you can be like a college student trying to figure out if he's going to pay his loan that month, but you know, that's not the way it works. Not when entire nations are resting on whether or not you can, you know, pay your bills.
Loan or Top Ramen.
Did you see Chris Matthews on Real Time? It's hilarious. He's like, well, you know, I know what it feels like to be dead. Wait, you want to try it? I mean, He's talking about how bad would default be. I don't know. Well, yeah, let's see.
Why don't you hit yourself in the head with a hammer? See what that feels like.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like a tingle down your leg.
Yeah. Yeah, injecting a speedball sounds like a really fun idea. until you actually do it and you feel your heart about to explode.
Yeah, I just, I could barely watch Meet the Press because, of course, David Gregory had to get in like the fair and balanced something. Yeah. I can't remember who he was asking. Well, you know, doesn't the president also need to lead here? Doesn't he need it? No! He is leading. I mean, it's just to cast this in some sort of terms, like the president somehow hasn't led, and that's
right.
How we where we are.
Right. The yeah. president needs to give in to the extortion. That's
right.
All they're really saying.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That would be leadership. And
yeah.
It's like, no. And you know what? Every poll bears out that that they want a leader that's actually going to lead, not a leader that's going to allow the opposition to dictate the terms.
Plus,
for him.
The president can't just undo a law.
Right. Right. Yeah.
No, he can't. He can. He can if he signs their undoing. You
yeah.
know, if they, you know, but they're not even at that now. They're now, and now that it's just all these pathetic bleats of, you know, oh, but just delay it for a year.
Still 10 years.
Yeah.
20.
And this game, oh, no, we'll do a 6-week extension of the debt ceiling, and then we can work everything out. Oh, just yeah. shut
well,
the up.
Right. As Harry Reid said, they're not doing us a favor to keep the government open or stopping us from defaulting. That's their job.
Yeah.
This is not like, oh, this is something we can trade. I'm doing you a favor by not. You know,
I mean, you know, how long can John Boehner exist, you know, on cigarettes and whiskey, you know?
All right. Rudeness. Great rude stuff. We will talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. There he goes. Rude Pundit, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And the radio. Passion. Even the president needs passion.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 15 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollard of Media Matters coming up. Top of the hour. Kevin in D.C. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Boy, nothing beats hearing the melodious voice of Stephanie Miller in your ear. Would
yes.
that one be that replaced with her tongue? But anyway.
Mm-hmm. What? No. Okay, go ahead, Kevin. Come on.
I have to laugh from crying because we're, you know, you mentioned, I don't watch Meet the Press and stuff like that because I cannot stand the both sides do it. Why won't the president lead garbage?
Right.
I just.
Right.
You know,
that's why I do it. I do
really
it for
cool
you.
Like if you could do something bad, no matter how blatantly it is your fault, you know, someone comes along and says, yes, but you know, we have to take into consideration that maybe there's even though like we saw you come up and smack that person for no reason. Well, you know, should the other person have led and maybe move out the way quick enough not to avoid the strike? I mean, what?
Where is that person's flinching mechanism? Why did the president not flinch properly?
Germany invaded Poland. We invaded Normandy. Both sides do it.
Right.
Yes, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So some leadership. He is showing leadership by not letting the hostages, you know, not letting the hostages take advantage. Look. It's their fault. Sometimes one party's responsible for something is their fault. The polls
yeah.
show it.
Yep.
You don't have to be scared to admit it. Every single poll shows they're being blamed.
They're all fake.
Put it on them.
They're all fake. According to Rush, they're all fake polls. They're all wrong. That's the oh, Louis Gohmert said that too. Don't you love Gohmert time? He's a precious little Tea Party pumpkin. That one is. By the way, Jim, brilliant historical World War II reference. Meet the Press during World War II. Hilarious. Germans invaded Poland. We invaded Normandy. Same thing.
Both sides
do it. I'm a small business owner. Moral equivalence. Yeah, oh, but I need some comedy music for this. This is not. The Values Voter Summit, Bachman-Gohmert Overdrive. Daily Beast brings us the details of this whole. There was no real mention of the economic effects of the shutdown, no. Instead, the discussion focused on what it meant for the monuments on the Washington Mall. And the political
because that's the most important thing facing America today.
Which they also shut down along with the rest of the government. Okay. Bachman brandished police tape. Yay! She brought props. She's the carrot top of the Tea Party.
Yay!
That she had said she had taken down from around the Lincoln Memorial. police tape from Abe. That, and she regaled audience members with the story of how she, Gohmert, and Representative Steve King,
the stunning Steve King
of Iowa, went from the World War II Memorial to the Vietnam Memorial to the Lincoln Memorial on the day after the shutdown and stormed the barricades.
I doubt she walked that distance.
To allow veterans and patriotic Americans to visit these national shrines. Gohmert argued that President Obama and Harry Reid were using the shutdown to make American people suffer like has never been done in a shutdown before. Actually, it did happen before, and it also was Republicans behind it. They also bit the political dust after that like you're going to do. Okay. For the they said it's a ploy for the Democrats to maintain, manipulate public opinion and regain control of the House. But he insisted he did not believe the polls that said Republicans were losing the government shutdown fight in the area of public
also
opinion.
Also, don't believe the world is round because you just fall out.
That's how they were lost and were so stunned afterwards in November.
That's why he's so stunning.
Let him more keep thinking that.
What's that you say, Chris? Did Gohmert have any further thoughts?
Did he have any further thoughts?
Well, yes, he did.
Oh.
He suggested that John McCain was an Al-Qaeda supporter.
Right.
And Bachman went on a long riff about early medieval history.
Oh,
it's more fun
than
that.
That must have been fascinating.
Referencing the victory of the Frankish King Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours in 732 over the Muslim Caliphate from Spain.
She was told to say that. She has no idea what that was about.
She's never read
this important victory over, though, she's described with dubious historical accuracy as Islamic marauders and a Muslim insurgency. Oh, I guess we're fighting the Muslim insurgency that's coming from the White House, I'm guessing,
yeah,
in her analogy.
You know, why they were yelling at President Obama to put down his Quran and come get off his knees and come out.
The
Moors, hands up.
Moors took over Spain and the White House.
Little known fact,
only Michelle Bachman could do.
Bachman compared the importance of this battle against Muslim invaders with the current political fight over Obamacare, which she said more accurately should be called death care. Okay, good one.
That's not going to stick.
God.
Obamacare, clever. Death care, not so much.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Okay. All right, let me
check. It's not clever, I just thought it up.
Bachman was optimistic this battle could be as great a triumph as the one fought in France 1,281 years ago. You see, battles count. You need to know when to fight. This is the time to fight. This is our moment for posterity to stand up and take on this oppressive president.
Suppressive?
Whatever.
And
she means oppressive.
I'll show her suppressive.
All right, this segment of the Steph.
She's suppressive and
glib. Hey, kids, what's for breakfast?
My name is Michelle Bachman. I'm a member of the United States Congress from the United States of America.
And that's not all.
And joining me are two other members of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa and also Louis Gohmert of Texas.
It's Sugar Frosted Wackadoodles, the number one breakfast cereal for American kids in the United States of America, where America is.
Thank you, and it has been wonderful to be here in Egypt.
Wackadoodles, part of this unbalanced breakfast.
It appears that the Obama administration has been backing the Muslim Brotherhood in recent months.
The Muslim Brotherhood, they're always after me wackadoodles.
And moms, remember, wackadoodles contains 100% of your child's minimum daily exposure to lead-based paint. Try new sugar-frosted wackadoodles. But they're crazy. On your grocer shelf next to Fruity Putins.
Nate in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I've got a great success story and a complaint about Obamacare.
Oh, okay.
My success story is when I brought my older daughter back onto my health plan, saved me $14,000. She's about to age out again, so now I have to get her on through Obamacare. My other daughter should save me about $20,000. So looking about $34,000 I'll save on health care for my children because they didn't age out under the no Obamacare plan. But my complaint is the system, and it's more than just glitches. Let's say you go on and you say, I'm going to sign on as Stephanie 1, all right, and you enter all your information, and there's a lot to enter. You know, you have to give them 3 security questions, so you're choosing all
like
that.
Most websites.
If somebody else already has Stephanie 1, it tells you that and then kicks you right back to the beginning. You have to start again, entering all your information. It doesn't leave your information intact, so you could just pick a new username.
Right.
That's one problem. But
wow, that's almost as complicated as using Amazon. And you save $34,000 because both your kids were able to stay on your insurance. All right. Sorry, I ran out of time for that particular.
They didn't accept my first username.
Therefore, I quit. Oh, Obamacare should be repealed.
See, I needed Chris Matthews this week on Real Time. What do you care? It's so popular. That's why it's weird glitches. So popular. What are you talking about? Okay. They're 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, enjoying our slim down, slow down. What is Fox News calling it today? What does Fox News say?
Dog goes woo, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, Ted Cruz goes, cow goes moo, frog goes crow, and our Danilo, she goes. And Russ goes slut.
And you're a slut, right?
And the wax fat guy goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does Fox do say? What does Fox do say? What does Fox say?
Wow. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right, only one man to break down what's going on in right wing world. Yeah. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Hey, good morning.
I love your tweet. Ha, quote of the day, week, month, year. Cruz, Democrats are feeling the heat. Yeah, that's what the polls are showing, right?
This is at the Value, what is the Value Voter Summit, where they all the crazies got together and talked about what a great week they had had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the Republican Party hit historic new lows, more unpopular than during Watergate. And another poll over the weekend showed the Obama approval care going up 7 points in the last week. So, it really does.
And you pointed out the same thing I did. You tweeted, Russia's in meltdown mode right now, telling callers to ignore the polls. Sound familiar? Yes. Remember those MIT polls and how completely wrong they were, right?
Right. Remember Limbaugh the day before the election? Everything except the headline, everything except the polls point to Romney landslide.
Right. Right.
But it really does, you know, so it's kind of funny, Democrats are feeling the heat, and if you listen to Limbaugh and the others, this is going, and over the weekend, Stephen Moore in Wall Street Journal had this long interview with this, you know, quote-unquote strategist, I'm putting air quotes around the strategy of the shutdown. There was this young guy from Heritage Action. You know, this new lobbying, right-wing lobbying firm and he's talking about how Obamacare is less popular than ever and everything is going according to plan and they can't believe how great everything has unfolded. So it really does spotlight, you know, I think it's beyond spin. I think, you know, you have to understand the people who are driving this aren't connected to reality the way traditional politicians and the way traditional political activists are. This is not, I feel like the press is sort of covering the shutdown from 1996. You know, well, the Democrats, you know, if they could just get together and negotiate a final deal, you know, if they could just agree on the numbers. This is not, that's not what's happening. This has nothing to do with previous shutdowns. And as I wrote last week, you know, the press is missing the story, which is just how radicalized the Republican Party has come. And only when you start to acknowledge that can you understand what the hell is going on.
Well, yeah, you wrote this piece, say, why won't the press police radical Republicans? I say this every Monday. I come in and I'm like, oh, God, meet the press, because there's always at least one David Gregory question. Well, why shouldn't the president have done something, you know, before now and before we got to, shouldn't he be leading? You know, and as you say, it is almost impossible to cover this. I mean, and yet they stick to their same, oh, it must be both sides and partisan gridlock. Right.
Yeah, and again, they're covering the last war. They're covering previous government shutdowns. They're covering previous Republican Democrat gridlock. They're not covering what's unfolding, or they're too timid and they're too scared to explain what's unfolding. In the piece I did in Media Matters last week, I quoted a piece that was in The Hill, and they quoted a whole bunch of these firebrand Tea Party Republicans. They're talking about, not only are they not excited about the government shutdown, they're excited about the prospect of defaulting on the debt. There was a quote in there from one of the congressmen talking about it's going to be their Braveheart moment. Mm-hmm. You know, they came to Washington to do something big, and that was the big, you know. So how do you deal with government shutdown and this crisis when there's a faction of the Republican Party that wants to default
right.
on the debt?
Right.
How do you negotiate with these people? And
right.
More
we won't have
for the press. How do you tell that story accurately if you're not acknowledging a part of the faction that's driving this wants to wreck the U.S.
Yeah.
economy?
We will have global financial catastrophe. They will lose their political lives.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
They'll have that freedom thing they talk about so much.
And there was a piece in the New York Times last week, and it was. It was basically, gee, there's a lot of Republicans who don't think defaulting on the debt is a big deal. and to me, it was written in sort of this very sort of, oh, okay, these are the Republicans. These are the ones who don't think defaulting is a big deal. Buried in there is most economists think it is a big deal. And it was just sort of like, you know, it wouldn't confront reality. I mean, the day
right,
before,
like that's an opinion question too.
Yeah,
would default
like,
be bad
well,
or wouldn't
people,
it be? Yeah.
I mean, the day before Bloomberg News, you know, not an opinion piece, but Bloomberg News, really the definitive voice for business reporting, you know, couldn't even fit enough adjectives into their news report in terms of describing what a default would be. You know, a cataclysmic, unlike anything the global economy has ever seen. But when it came time for the New York Times politics to look at this, they sort of like, well, some Republicans don't think it would be a big deal, but some economists think it would. You know,
yeah.
Again,
don't
not
forget,
grappling. Yeah,
right.
Not grappling with the real problem, which is these people don't adhere to normal logic and don't adhere to normal rules.
Well, don't forget the cow doctor, the Republican cow doctor, who says it would actually be better. It would have a soothing effect on the world economy. The United States were
right,
involved.
and quotes like that are picked up and people report on them, but the press is not dealing with reality, and they're too afraid and they're too timid, and they're missing the big story. The big
right,
story,
it becomes do both sides have a point? No, the cow doctor's wrong. He's not an economist. I mean, as you say, as you write this week, let's see, most journalists have never seen anything quite like the purposeful dysfunction and chaos that Republicans have plotted and therefore remain timid and unsure about acknowledging what's really happening. You're right. They're sticking with their template no matter what about both
yeah.
sides are to blame. As you quote
yeah.
like partisan logjam, the headline is suffering from an inability to come together, Cokie
yeah.
Roberts says, right?
Why can't they just get together? Why
right.
can't they hammer out a deal? They're being so, you know, stubborn and things like that. Again, that does, you know, that's fine. That's sort of interesting analysis for something that's not happening now. That's interesting analysis for 1996 or, you know, even if you want to go back a couple years. That has literally nothing to do with what has unfolded and what is facing the country now. So it really is a failure of journalism, and it's failure of journalism at a very important point in our history.
And you make a great point about Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann, who we've had on the show. Of course, you just wrote this book about what seems obvious to pretty much everyone, how this radical Tea Party streak you know, has influenced the Republican Party. And you said they've basically been blackballed by the D.C., you know, the Beltway establishment because... You know, that's too one-sided, and they're not liberals, by the way. But
yeah, no.
Calling Republicans out as radicals, I guess they don't want to hear that, right?
Yeah, no, I think they've been a sort of academic and scholarly duo for a long time. Washington Post called them, you know, one of the most respected brands in Washington. You know, they've got, they're always quoted, they're always on TV, they're go-to people, and then, as you pointed out, you know, they put out a book that sort of dropped the facade and said, this is not both sides to blame. This is beyond anything American history. This is, you know, this is obstruction by sabotage. This is an unwillingness to govern, et cetera, et cetera. It was they were quite clear. Republicans are to blame for what's going on. As Media Matters pointed out last year, their media hits just dried up overnight. They weren't on TV the way they were used to. They're not quoted the way they used to be. They are, thankfully, now, you do see their names coming back because they nailed this thing 12, 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. Everything they wrote is coming to fruition. And now some journalists are going back and saying, oh, by the way, these guys were right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was, oh, you can't say that. You can't say Republicans are to blame. That means, you know, that means both sides aren't to blame. That means we can't, hold
right.
up this blame both sides charade that we love.
And finally, you tweeted, Eric, if you think GOP is unpopular now, wait until they default and gut every retirement fund and every college saving plan in America. Do you think that's where we're going?
I don't know. And again, and you know, Rachel Maddow had a great segment on this Friday night. She was saying, you know, this isn't normal. If this was just the two sides can't agree, this would have been resolved right now. And therefore, what we're dealing with on the Republican side is not normal. You know, you run out of adjectives. You know, it's not normal. They are radical. Some of them want to do this. So it's almost impossible to make a level-headed prediction on what would happen. Because we're sort of through the looking glass and we're dealing with a faction that John Boehner has completely capitulated to, that not only doesn't, you know, act in a normal way, but as we've talked about, some of them want to default on the debt. Some of them think it would be cleansing to wreck the U.S. economy.
Yeah, it's a financial colon blow of some sort to them. They think it would be somehow. Well, honestly, what happened? I mean, you've heard talk of the 14th Amendment. What's your opinion on that, Eric? I mean, if we get to Thursday, I mean, what happens?
Oh, I have no idea. You know, and I don't think anyone does. And it's kind of weird that we're only 4 days away. And again, the Republican, like, you know, that Times piece, which was way too even-handed in terms of dealing with such a radical idea, and way too sort of low-key. You know, these Republican senators saying, oh, even if we default, you know, the government has plenty of money, or we'll prioritize, you know, what we default on. And virtually every economist who isn't paid by a right-wing think tank is saying, no, that is crazy. That's not how it works. You guys don't know what you're doing, and you're going to blow up the global economy. So I, you know, obviously I have my fingers crossed like everyone else, but again, it's impossible to say because we're not dealing with normal politics. And just a quick point, you know, ABC this week, over the weekend, you know, Paul Krugman was telling the truth as usual about the shutdown. He's saying, we've never seen anything like this. It's, you know, going through all the details. And Peggy Noonan says, oh, no, it might be more heightened now, but this is business as usual. This is how Washington functions. And as long as you have those elite enablers like Peggy Noonan, they can just continue to give cover for these people who are trying to sabotage the government.
You are the only man I can get through this with. We are like Sandra Bullock and George Clooney in Gravity.
Oh, God.
Highly stressful situation. Only you can save me now. Thank you, Eric Bollard. Appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you
next week. Bye-bye.
Why won't the president
capitulate? It sounded like he was floating away in space as he said goodbye.
Yeah.
Beep,
exactly.
Beep,
shh, don't give away the ending. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back.
I think the images in the trailer of Sandra Bullock spinning and floating away from the camera.
Yes.
I think that's
great. I don't have to see it now.
Oh, great. Way to go.
I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah. Fine. Right. The boat sinks in Titanic, I suppose. Thanks, Chris. You ruin everything. Rosebud is the sled. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, Republicans.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
The
Harry
conversations
Reid.
Were extremely cordial, but very preliminary, of course. Nothing conclusive.
Yeah, he's talking to Mitch McLipless, Jim, and I did yeah, science tech earlier. We did not know that hibernating turtles actually are aware of what's going on.
Uh-huh.
So while he's been quiet.
Very much aware of what's happening.
But how can he hear Harry Reid? Do turtles have ears?
Apparently they do. When they pop out of the shell, he was aware what's happening. He just wasn't chiming in yet.
Oh. Well, if we could hear, we wouldn't make those crazy noises during a physical act of love.
He was overwintering, the term that we heard, for turtle hibernation, which is not as bad as over-antiquing or right, over-summering like yeah. the Romneys do. Okay, Senator Chuck Schumer.
The motion to proceed so that we could pay our bills failed because it didn't get the 60 votes. It didn't get the bipartisan support that we had hoped. This is playing with fire. We don't know when the markets will react to this. You can't say it'll be no sooner than next Thursday. I worry on Monday that when the American markets open, maybe because of this vote, that they will start worrying and not only will the stock market go down, but interest rates go up and the value of the value of U.S. Treasuries decline. It's
mission
very serious.
Accomplished. Yay. Look what we did.
Oh, I forgot an Eric Bollard tweet. He said, awful, awful people. Fox's advice to millennials, opt out of health insurance until you get into an accident.
Great.
Nice.
Good plan.
Very nice. Good advice.
Well, I want the president to capitulate
and watch the Fox
abandon news. Established law. What? It's him, right? It's not me.
Lord. I love Wonkette's piece about the whatever that was, the teabagger rally at the World War II thing with Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. And, after awesome rally, teabaggers winning shutdowns, showdown, say teabaggers. Let us kick off this long week of resisting their urge to punch every conservative within a 1,000-mile radius with a quick summary of the absurd sights in our fair nation's capital city on Sunday, where hundreds of dipwads gathered at the World War II Memorial to protest it being closed due to a government shutdown that had been demanded, initiated, and cheered on by those same dipwads.
Yes.
And feeble-brained poop gibbons they elected to represent them in Congress. The Tea Partiers took down the barricades and carried them down Pennsylvania Avenue, dumped them in front of the White House, then stood around jeering for a while in a show of good old American pride that doubtless shook the Kenyan usurper from the top of his turban down to the soles of his dressy Ramadan sandals. Also, some moron showed up to wave a Confederate flag because hoisting the stars and bars in front of a house occupied by an African-American family is a really great way to convince the rest of the country of the righteousness of your cause.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wonka. Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Actually, I just want to say that I feel that the Republicans are becoming even more defiant, and the reason is that their popularity is already in the tank. So what more do they have to lose? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're winning because look where we are today.
Yeah,
we're compromising. We're negotiating.
I suppose, although the president's been clear that he's not negotiating on the terms of Obamacare or anything else they're asking for. Which I guess is just Eric Cantor was so disappointed.
That's so distasteful.
Oh, by the way, did you see he was busy stabbing a boner in the back?
Yes.
Eric Cantor given total control of the House in the late night rule change.
Yeah.
Did you see our good friend Chris Van Hollen was up there with some charts pointing this out? They changed their rules so they don't allow just anyone to bring up a Senate bill, say the one to, you know, open the government.
Right.
But now only allow bills to be brought up by Eric Cantor. Isn't that something? Huh. Isn't that something?
Suck on that, bitches.
I'll be in Montauk.
I don't think they say suck on that, bitches, in Montauk.
I think he does.
He does. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I find being cast in the role of bad girl oddly titillating.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Someone writes me, Mama saw Don Lemon talking to John King yesterday afternoon. There was no both sides BS going on. Don Lemon said, but at this point, it obviously is Republicans' fault, right? And John King said, yes, of course. Oh, well.
Wow.
Oh, well, the fever might be breaking.
What?
My spouse and I looked at each other and made the noise. Also on Morning Joe today, everyone in the GOP is totally even the odious Mark Halperin said, when Republicans cave, there's no question that they have to. Jim, who said, there's still something well-nigh unprecedented about how Republicans have conducted themselves of late. It's not the scale of their mistake or the kind of damage it's caused, but the fact that their strategy was such a self-evident folly, so transparently devoid of any method whatsoever. Who said that?
Norman Fell.
No.
Mr. Roper?
Not any of the Ropers. Ross do that in the New York Times.
He do that.
He did do that. He wrote that.
All live long day.
Uh-huh. Who said every sensible person, most Republican politicians included, could recognize that the shutdown fever would blow up in the party's face. Even the shutdown's ardent champions never advanced a remotely compelling story for how it would deliver its objectives. And everything that's transpired since, from the party's polling nosedive to the frantic efforts to save face, was entirely predictable in advance. Who said that?
William Daniels. Yeah. Ben, don't you think this idea is rather half-baked?
Good one, but no. Ross do that, who did that yesterday, wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that. Been there, do that? What?
No.
Huh? Okay. What? Who said the meltdown, methodless madness distinguished this shutdown from prior congressional Republican defeats, the Gingrich shutdown, the Clinton impeachment, when you could at least see what the politician involved were thinking, and it distinguishes it, too, from many of history's marches of folly as well. Who said that?
Catherine Ross.
Oh, no, good guess, though. No, Ross, do that. Wrote that.
I hadn't got through the entire task of The Graduate, but I was
okay.
Gonna,
all right.
I'll let my
we'll
way.
Work our
That's
way.
Right. William Daniels was in The Graduate. I forgot that.
Okay. Therese in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Therese.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to make a point about how John Boehner is sort of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. They have the votes to reopen the government and fix the debt ceiling. If he does that, Tea Party revolts, he loses his speakership. If he doesn't do that, all those congressional districts that have moderates in them now are all in play. We get back to the majority,
well,
he loses his speakership.
And by the way, it seems like the anti-Boehner coup has begun, as we just were saying. They did this rule change in the middle of the night that only Eric Cantor can put a bill on the floor, not even the Boehner.
Not even Boehner.
Not even the lead, not the House leader. It's like, what the hell? He must have been passed out.
I'm sure he was.
He was in a pool of his own sick when that happened.
Yes.
Hey, guys, I got an idea. Senator Mary Landrieu yesterday.
There is a real question as to if a small group of Republicans in the House understand how high this cliff is and how close we are to it.
Yeah, this is awesome at this point. This is turning into Animal House, isn't it? Whatever's happening to the Republicans.
Yeah.
Boehner's going to wake up on the roof somewhere. I don't know.
There's going to be a horse
in
the dean's office.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll be in double secret probation.
Call what's his name in? Fahrenholt, the big fat guy from Texas.
Oh, God.
Listen, drunk, fat, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
He's more like Booger in Revenge
Booger,
of the Nerds.
Right.
Yeah.
They're all a character in some ridiculous movie. Elaine in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
I was wondering where the religious leaders are, why they aren't throwing in their two cents, and Pope, because Boehner is a Catholic, and I would guess the Pope doesn't really think this is a good idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, the Reverend Jim Wallace has, but
yeah. And
they don't listen to him because he talks about stuff Jesus said. And who needs that?
The Senate chaplain, in his 1 minute of allotted time every day, just really hands the Senate's ass to them on a platter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are some religious leaders that that
he went all share on their ass, basically. He rolled up a copy of the Bible and he said, snap out of it.
Snap out of it!
Daryl in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, what's up, Steph? How are you doing?
Good. Not much. Go ahead.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I think a lot of progressives think that the Constitution is a living document is because the framers clearly did not contemplate a circumstance where one party would, rather than try to avert a disaster, would be pushing the country toward a disaster and would actively or would stop representing the will of the people and using interposition and nullification to invalidate elections. I mean, I just don't think that the framers thought about this. And we need a mechanism to, I don't know if it's to impeach the speaker or if it's to disband caucuses or...
I don't think it's hyperbole at this point. Some people have already said this morning about it. Well, how close is this to treason? I mean, this is from within. I mean, as you were saying, Chris, last week, if we had terrorists threatening to do what they're about to do to the United States government and the world financial system, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we'd be bombing them by now if it was another country doing this to us.
Yeah, exactly. In case you've just tuned in, House Republicans Saturday said the White House has rejected their offer to temporarily increase the debt ceiling and open the government because there were other hostage demands.
Yeah.
Could the president have been clearer since day one?
Give us what we want or the dog gets it.
Not negotiating on this. Members leaving a closed-door meeting said that Boehner told them talks with President Obama on how to end the government shutdown and avert the blah, blah, blah had reached a dead end.
Because of Boehner.
There was also concern the White House might strike a deal with Senate Republicans. And did you see little Eddie, the budget monster? He was very, very... He's like, you can't do that!
You can't
cut us out of things!
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
I won't go! I won't! You can't leave me! You can't!
I have a serious plan!
Yeah, go back to the house. Go back to the kids' table. Go back to the kids' table.
Take it serious.
Go back to the gym, because that's still open.
Yes.
Do your little curls with your little baby weights.
I bet you that's exactly the sound he makes when he's lifting.
I'm exhausted. Whew. 15 pounds, huh?
No, those were 5-pound weights he was using.
5 pounds.
He used the pink weights, I think.
Yes!
He uses the girl weights.
God, he's a puss.
Eric Cantor
I'll be in Montauk if you need me.
Said, I'm disappointed that the president has rejected the offer we put on the
table.
Personally, I don't have time for this. I've got a mani-pedi appointment.
I know that he's trying to see which Republican senator he can pick off in the Senate. I hope the Senate Republicans stand strong so we can speak with one voice.
I'm certainly standing strong. Grr. I've girded my loins.
God, even Cantor's more manly than Eddie Munster.
Oh, smarmy, all of them. I love the Andy Borowitz report. Hostage takers call comparisons to Tea Party hurtful. A group representing America's hostage takers today blasted President Obama for his repeated comparisons between them and Tea Party Republicans, calling his remarks degrading and hurtful. The complaint came from the National Alliance of Hostage Takers and Blackmailers, a watchdog group that monitors negative images of extortionists in the media. As professional hostage takers, we never take hostages unless we have a well-thought-out plan, realistic demands, and a clear exit strategy. Any comparison between what we do and these inane Tea Party antics are derogatory and unacceptable. Hurrah. Good day, sir. Oh, and the president apparently met with the Nat, with Ted Cruz. Ah, God. Speaking with reporters at Friday after a meeting at the White House, Ted Cruz, revealed some details about his conversation. Oh. I think it did just consist of the president just swatting him before he got the fly. The bug zapper. Stop it. He's such a little... He said political reports that Cruz, quote-unquote, confronted the president. Oh, I bet you did, big man. Telling him that any deal to reopen the federal government must be accompanied by substantial changes to Obamacare.
Yeah. Idiot.
Okay. There you go. I told the president... Oh, you... You pooed yourself.
The president wasn't even born here. Oh, wait. That's kind of a bad argument for me. Oops.
I told the president exactly the same thing I told you here today. He is such a self-important little douche nozzle.
I do not like green eggs and ham.
That we need to work together.
How often do I have to say it?
And fund the government at the same time, provide substantial relief to the millions of people who are hurting because of Obamacare.
What?
Because of Obamacare?
Cruz told reporters
about?
He is glad the president is finally having discussions with the opposition. Ugh. That is improvement, he said. But at the end of the day, the president still said he wouldn't negotiate. Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. It's so weird because Canadians generally don't like calling attention to themselves.
I love they're trying to make it seem like they're winning something because the president is talking. He's talking in order to say...
Computer says no.
And get the out of my office.
Why won't the president negotiate with the mosquito instead of trying to swat it?
I told the president... Remember when the president killed that fly?
That's right. Yes.
That was what this meeting with Cruz was like. Remember that? He just like cool hand loops. Right in the middle of an interview, just like that. That's what how it went. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in, Wacko Bird. Good to see you. All right. Oh, speaking of Wacko Birds, that John McCain, fellow Republican, is the one that dubbed him that, Senator McCain. Yesterday.
We shut down the government, and then that gave the opportunity for this to be terribly, awfully mismanaged and mishandled by the White House. If we hadn't shut down the government, this wouldn't have happened. And they shut down the government with a fool's errand that would not succeed, and that's a fact.
And that's why it's the president's fault.
Right. So your disastrous incumbent party shut the government down. But now the White House has mismanaged the shutdown that your party caused. Okay. All right, then. Grampy. That's awesome. Oh, look, Ted Cruz is back. I need another meeting, Mr. Pratt. Okay, sorry.
They've installed a bug zapper to the front of the Oval Office.
Oh, is he back?
Yes.
Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Downers. Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right, 50 minutes after. Yes, Chris, my ear muff fell off my headphone. I had to dive and get it.
I hear that's a common occurrence in your community.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
Right,
Jim!
Oh,
What? Hey, Jim. Hi. Hey, Jim in Arkansas.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. I have a question. In this government shutdown and everything, what has Harry Reid or the president, what have they brought to the table as far as any kind of a deal or anything?
They don't need to bring a deal. We have a law that has been a law for 3.5 years. It has been negotiating. It's done. There's no renegotiating Obamacare.
Well, does Obamacare really work?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So far, in the past 2 weeks, yes.
You're correct. It does work, and I can tell you how it does work. Uh-huh. In the state of Arkansas, I don't know if you're aware of this, but teachers, you know, Democrats always say that they're for firefighters, teachers, and educators.
Teachers and educators,
Arkansas,
right.
Yes, and educators. Well, in the state of Arkansas, education insurance for educators has went up 78% now. Mm. Has in it? The last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just check that. Oh, that's wrong.
Computer says
no. Okay, thanks for that, though. Could you pick at least a little more realistic number next time you call?
It's gone up 1,000,000%
right. For teachers and educators.
Since the Kenyan took over.
Okay. All right.
Where did Jerry banana take?
Okay, sorry. I apologize.
Why didn't Harry Reid get on Obamacare?
Because
he's employed by a large employer that has its own.
Called the United States government.
Exactly. Which you were trying to destroy.
Why ain't Michelle on there getting that sign up for the exchanges?
It can't be good if she ain't on it.
Because she's on her husband's health insurance, which is provided by a major employer, which is the United States of America.
If Obamacare ain't good enough for the Obamas, watch it.
Because they get insurance through their employers.
All right. Don't feel the need to actually answer me.
I know.
Veteran political journalist Mark Halperin said today Democrats know they are winning the battle over the government shutdown, and all that's left is negotiating Republican surrender. That's what I was saying. The next meeting at the White House, Boehner's just going to have the tighty-whities on, and then he's going to have to take those off, too. He's lost the entire strip poker game, and he'll need those to wave.
And he'll look like Walter White running out of his Winnebago.
If he were Orange, Walter Orange.
Orange, exactly, yes!
Halperin said on Morning Joe this morning, it's just a question of the terms of surrender right now. We've talked about Democrats giving Republicans an opportunity to save face. I think the White House and Harry Reid would like to humiliate the Republicans and send the message that if you're led around by Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin going forward, the same thing will happen to you again. So they're going for the best, toughest deal they can get. Halperin said, he was talking about what we've been saying, though, about Thursday is the debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. He said there could be a miscalculation because the Senate tends to think the House can act fast. The House tends to think the Senate can act fast. They may not have back-timed this well enough to actually get it done. The big thing is the markets in the next 48 hours. Yeah. That will be clarifying.
Uh-huh.
If the market goes bonkers in the next 48 hours, I think everybody will act fast. So
yeah, the Koch brothers sure acted fast. They realized it was going to cut into their money.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
They're like they're like Mortimer and what's his name? And what am I thinking?
In Trading Places.
Yes, and Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, Mortimer. And
they were like Don Amici and
right. They're turning back those machines back on. Turn those machines. Those are the Koch brothers. Yes. They're the Koch brothers, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? You're trying to think of his name. He played Dr. Saperstein in Rosemary's Baby,
too.
Ralph Bellamy,
there yes. In His Girl Friday.
Yes.
It was that guy. It looks just like Ralph Bellamy. Well, it was Ralph Bellamy.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
I can't remember. Somebody is such a huge fan of that movie, they wanted to name their kids. I can't remember their names now.
Mortimer and...
Duke. The Dukes.
The Duke brothers. The Duke boys.
The Dukes. No, the Dukes. It was Mortimer and... Damn, the other one. All right. Because then anytime the kids did something wrong, you could go, it was the Dukes! It was the Dukes! Remember when they were strangling Dan Aykroyd?
Randolph and Mortimer Duke.
Randolph and Mortimer! It was the Dukes! It was the Dukes!
Wow.
I apparently haven't watched that movie enough.
I haven't watched that movie in years.
That's the last thing you'll hear, Ted Cruz, is somebody's choking him for what he's done to the front.
It was the Dukes. It was the Cokes.
All right. I'm having too much.
But your brother is dying. F him!
Turn back those machines back on! That's our money!
What's that?
They're the Koch brothers.
It was
they literally
the Cokes.
Were.
It was the Cokes.
Okay.
I need to watch that movie again.
I know. This is we're in the middle of Trading Places.
I know.
All right, Ted Cruz.
None of us know what's going to happen on this Obamacare fight right now.
Yes, we do.
In my view, the House of Representatives needs to keep doing what it's been doing, which is standing strong.
That's the Cokes.
Can I just say I was actually doing the neck thing to myself, and I almost auto-asphyxiated myself.
There was nothing erotic about it.
Well, I don't know.
It's neurotic in her case.
I couldn't stop that.
Auto-neurotic.
Auto-moronic. I almost auto-moronic asphyxiated myself. I really realize that it's radio. I didn't really need to do that.
No, you didn't.
I didn't actually apply pressure.
Although, the people at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller saw it.
Yes. Oh, and we do have exciting TV news very soon. Yes. You know, it can't be announced yet, but yes. You'll be able to see me automoronically asphyxiate myself very soon.
Because people have been writing.
I know. Shush, everybody. It took longer than we thought. All right.
I can't show up in my jammies anymore.
But it's really exciting.
It is exciting. I'm having a brain-related incident from squeezing my neck too hard.
Well, luckily, we're going to be taking a break here soon.
Devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
You almost Michael Hutchins yourself. Great.
I did.
Thanks.
I did. Or Ariel Castro.
Or Ariel Castro.
If you'd like a more current reference.
Yeah. Then we'd have to call in Hal Sparks
for tomorrow. Any hit songs.
Dee in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dee.
Listen. Stephanie, hi, I love you. I absolutely love you. I'm one of these old, and I'm not really a true Southerner, but I've been here a while, and I live in Georgia, and I'm telling you, it's just painstaking to listen and talk to some of these people here.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just saying to your person that answered the phone that it is so crazy how these people are saying that the insurance is escalating so much because I'm retired. But I only retired 2 years ago, and I can remember when everybody was talking about every year that the insurance with our company was renewed, all they did was bitch and moan about how the insurance was going up. What is wrong with this company? Da, da. And my son, who is a very viable working person, has not had health insurance for 8 years.
And now he's on yours. All right, we're out of time. Sorry. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, Dean Abadala, comedian extraordinaire, coming up at the bottom of the hour. My buddy, my pal from CNN. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Yeah, this just gets better and better. All this stuff from the, what was it, the Values Voters Summit?
That's right.
Marco.
Rubio.
With all this fighting that's going on in Washington these days, my biggest fear is that we're losing focus on the biggest issues facing our country, that we're losing control of our nation, and more importantly, that we are losing what we've come to know as the American dream.
Oh, yeah. For the love of God.
Yeah. And you're the ones driving the bus off the cliff. Congratulations. Daily Beast says at the Value Voter Summit, inside the right-wing conclave, the train wreck's drivers, from Ted Cruz to Rand Paul to Marco Rubio, were celebrated and completely unchallenged. Yes, you are winning. You're correct. They think they are winning this fight. At the Values Voter Summit, it was hard to find conservatives who thought Cruz and Lee had gone wrong with their strategy.
Huh.
No, you're right.
Wow.
What you did is real good.
Good what you done, Anthony. It's real good.
Right.
We love Sequester TV night.
Oh, heavens. I missed this one. Sandy Rios was there.
Oh,
Talk radio host.
Mm-hmm.
She gave a lengthy denunciation of homosexuality, going so far as to call the brutal murder of Matthew Shepard a fairy tale.
Yep.
What?
Right. That's.
Didn't you debate her once on TV at some point?
I don't. If I did, I've expunged it from my memory.
I think you did at one point.
That was a little. Yeah, that was quite the ballad that they. Yeah.
Fighting soldiers for the coast. They're mostly just old white folks.
Yep.
100 eyes. But not that much to join the tea party. Silver hair upon their heads. These are folks their relatives dread. 100 years their median age. At the tea party is where they put their rage. Holding signs up in the air. Keep your government hands off my Medicare. 100 things they'll get wrong, you see. We don't need facts in the Tea Party.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah, there were some precious folks that were there. Did you see any of the interview? Well, there was a guy with a big Confederate flag, that mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah.
Patty and Jack Robertson.
Oh, please and thank you.
Uh-huh. From Florida, of course.
Sure.
Sinkhole capital of the world.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. They were enamored of Cruz. Ted Cruz.
Uh-huh.
He said, they said, you can feel his passion for the American people, said Patty.
Ugh.
Well, he is... us, that's for sure. Yes,
I do not like green eggs and ham.
We can feel the passion.
I don't know how many times I can say it.
Mm-hmm. Patty and Jack from Florida, Chris,
yep.
Very surprisingly, are older and white.
Oh.
Wow. What are the odds?
Right. Patty, in fact, bragged that she'd make phone calls to every senator to support the push to defund the Affordable Care Act, every single one of them. Patty with a little free time in her hands, I guess.
I guess so.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that is a Tea Party love story, though.
Oh.
You know where they must have met. They must have met. Yes, sirree.
Finding true right-wing love is a challenge. So that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just... boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
Yay! Rock About Mike!
Yep.
By the way.
What?
Just, it gets better, I've heard. Pollsters, GOP will become even more extreme if that's possible. New research suggests the factions currently leading the war on Obamacare will grow even more intransigent.
Intransigent.
Yes. Stand entirely on principle. Who cares about elections anymore? The Republican factions leading the war on Obamacare, the federal government shutdown, attacking other Democratic priorities such as preserving safety nets, expanding civil rights, and regulating big business are going to become more extreme, according to top pollsters. Understand the base thinks that they're losing politically and losing control of the country and feel powerless to change course. In this paranoid world, Obamacare is Armageddon, the setting for the final battle between good and evil and the rallying cry that unites the party's factions. Yes, you all huddle together over there.
And there can be only one.
Right. Everybody's writing the same thing. Our friend Doyle McManus in the LA Times, mm-hmm. The GOP, right word ho.
Yep.
You know what,
right off the cliff.
Right. There is no cliff, Jim. There is much more room on the right. Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, further.
No, we don't have a good shot yet. We don't have a good picture. Keep going. Just back up
there.
A little bit, and that's an amazing
Almost
shot.
Almost there.
Yep. The Republican Party is at war with itself, he writes. It's divided over how best to shrink the federal budget and how to undo President Obama's health care law. It hasn't been notably successful at either, which helped explain why the GOP, standing in the eyes of most voters, have plummeted to deaths not seen in three decades of modern polling. The Heritage Action, whatever.
From the Heritage Foundation, yeah.
Raven, that focused Tea Party conservatives in the House on the idea of using this fall's long scheduled votes on federal spending to try to defund Obamacare. Oh, that was their idea. Jim Dandy idea. This is really spectacular. Oh, have you seen this douche on TV? Heritage Action's 31-year-old CEO, Michael Needham.
I haven't seen him.
He last week said the group's long-term goal was to transform the GOP. Nicely, that you are doing
yes.
a bang-up job.
Into...
Keep going.
A far-right paradise?
Like, he's like, you know what he is? He's like whoever was directing Joan Crawford and Mommy Dearest.
Yes.
Not enough yet. Not enough. You know what? Just go
more,
with that
more,
a little bit more.
More.
Not, you know, we won't use
X
all those
more.
Takes.
More is always better.
Right. Right. Exactly. More is always better.
That's right.
We're not going to use all of those takes. Just do a bunch of them way over the top. We won't string them all together because that would make you look horrible.
And we would never do that.
Right. Tina! Bring me the axe! Right. Just, you know, try the bearing wall thing just a little... bigger.
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
No, more, more, we need more, more.
No, not enough. Anyway, that guy?
Him.
Mommy Dearest director Michael Needham said last week that the group's long-term goal was to transform the GOP, which he called the allegedly conservative party. The government shutdown, he insisted, was a step on the path to electoral success.
Yes, you go with that.
Don't f*** with me, fellas!
Right!
This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
I smell Emmy. He said...
Oscar.
Right.
That was a movie that was in theaters. That wasn't on
really?
TV. Yes,
oh, awesome.
Yes.
I smell Oscar Michael Needham. Let's go. Bigger, bolder, more courageous, more over the top. Do it. There have been, sorry.
Stephanie Miller.
Known you know where to find the boys and the booze.
Okay. There have been insurgent movements in American political parties before, of course. Goldwater conservatives broke with the party's mainstream in 64. Oh, yes, sir. That was a principled victory. That's what you want, Michael Needham.
Director of Mommy Dearest.
Dearest director. Here's what's different about DeMint and his allies, Jim DeMint and the junior DeMints. They are eager to target Republican incumbents, even to the point of challenging them in Republican primaries. Yes! Teabag the bejesus out of those teabaggers. They aren't teabaggy enough. Faster, harder. Some of those K Street Republican lobbyists, though, told me last week they're organizing to support endangered incumbents, including McConnell, and plan to do some primarying of their own, funding GOP moderate challengers. Yes! Fight, 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 fight! Shove each other into the bleachers! Do it! Do it! Why do I get a feeling that Michael Needham, director of Mommy Dearest, is going to get a call at some point from, I don't know, Susan Collins, somebody?
I am not one of your fans!
Don't know for sure. Joan.
Yeah. The right wingers won't be happy till it's KKK Street.
Would we ever make you look bad and over the top?
No,
come on.
Of course not.
Trust me.
You're too subtle right now. You're going to be on the big screen.
Oh,
so
kids.
We need more. More.
Kids, listen, when your party completely implodes, something will come in its place. It gets better, Skeeter.
Hey, I'll just want free stuff.
History turns the
Massive
page.
Voter fraud,
but you know,
acorn,
I know, we all know a Skeeter.
They all get free hip-hop iPhones.
Obama derangement syndrome reaches all segments of society.
It's going to be 25 cents
Rich
more.
And poor, young and old, anyone can be a Skeeter.
He watched live video of Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey didn't do anything to stop it.
Sufferers of Obama derangement syndrome
Canyon.
Only have to remember three words.
Socialist.
Skeeter.
Skeeter. It gets better.
For those unable to distinguish between fantasy and reality,
it gets better. Can I get back on the Yahoo comments now?
Please do your part by giving at your local Skeeter kiosk.
Monkey is not a racist term.
Help Skeeter.
War against gold.
Help Bubba.
Obama has a Marxist dog.
Help Karl Rove.
Elections have a liberal bias.
A delusional mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, there, Skeeter. Pluck up, little fella. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Dino Madalla, comedian extraordinaire, much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lindsey Graham, he is about to flounce on his fainting couch. He's in free fall.
We're in a free fall as Republicans, but Democrats are not far behind.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they actually are. I don't know which polls he's looking at, but yeah. No.
Computer says no.
But he does. He is vaporing greatly.
Yes.
Let's see. Where am I looking at? Daily Beast. Republicans with a death wish holding U.S. Ransom. House Republicans remain deadlocked with the White House, the leadership constrained by their own far-right-wing caucus, announcing to members in a closed-door session that any deal would have to come from the Senate, where Mitch McConnell, who has been overwintering and hibernating as turtles do, declared, I'm Oh, this is cute. He said, I'm willing to work with the government we have, not the one I wish we had. Oh, see, it's a little play on the whole Rumsfeld thing. Great. That's funny. Okay. Fear over these proposed primary challenges led to a collapse of common sense as Republicans backed into a suicidal government shutdown strategy in an attempt to get President Obama to defund or delay his signature health care law. But Cruz and company raised millions around this base-pleasing fantasy, as evidenced by the bunch of dopes assembled in Washington for the, what was that thing?
The Values Voters Summit?
Right. And without any real strategy for success. Even Grover Norquist criticized Cruz, saying he pushed House Republicans into traffic and wandered away.
That's a really good analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7 in 10 Americans, that's nearly 70%, mm-hmm. Jim, say the GOP are putting politics ahead of their country. And as we've said before, polling has the Republican Party at the lowest approval rating of any political party in the history of polling. So will Rush say today that all these polls are fake? Because Friday, the NBC Wall Street Journal was a fake poll.
Oh, Ted Cruz has said that they oversampled government workers.
Ah, right.
Oh.
That's the excuse they're coming up with.
Right.
Here's a fun statistic. 90% of American nuclear safety regulators are laid off thanks to the shutdown. Mm. What could possibly go wrong?
Thanks, Republicans. Wow. Yikes. Hey, now that smoking gun is a mushroom cloud.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Warned by their donors and the public, the GOP now in tightly controlled panic mode, the Daily Beast is saying. Louis Gohmert could not help taking shots at fellow Republicans, like centrist Senator John McCain, a war hero, saying he supports Al-Qaeda.
Oh, God, really?
I'm not sure what the Gohmert based that on, but yeah.
My spidey senses tell me that he's Al-Qaeda.
Daily Beast finishing, angry donors and ugly polls might do what reason and patriotism have so far failed to inspire. We'll see. Hmm. Last time we went through this kamikaze kabuki in the summer of 2011, the U.S. avoided default but still ended up having its AAA credit rating downgraded by S&P. Who can say with a straight face that we've learned our lesson? No, I mean, and the difference now is that a lot of them, as somebody was saying, seem to be rooting for default.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yet another one by our friend Chris Saliza, who had the worst week in Washington, the Republican Party. And he was talking about the NBC poll. 53% of Americans have a negative impression of the party, compared with 40% for Democrats. 70% disapprove of the job GOP is doing in Congress, 11 points worse than the number for Democrats. He said, the worst week, Republican Party, for walking into a trap of your own making. You had the worst week in Washington. Congratulations. Yeah, we didn't even do it to them.
No.
For God's sakes. This is... Representative Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia.
The president has rejected every offer that we've made, and so we're going to, I guess, wait to see what the Senate comes up with.
Every offer to capitulate.
Right.
He's rejected
every
them.
Hostage demand we've asked for. We can't figure it out. And Senator Ted Cruz, once again, did he storm the barricades with the veterans, Senator Ted Cruz?
Our veterans should be above politics.
Right.
Enough games.
I see it's games the president's playing because...
He's not capitulating.
Okay.
Because he thinks he won a couple elections or something.
Yeah, something. By the by, how did we not see this headline coming? Gabby Giffords booed at New York Gun Show. That's always nice to boo someone that's been shot in the head.
Booing her for surviving?
Yeah.
Wow.
She attended a gun show over the weekend to highlight a voluntary agreement to monitor gun show sales and stricter state gun control laws. A state law enacted earlier this year by Governor Cuomo expanded the ban on military-style weapons, requires mental health professionals to report threats, limits magazines to 7 bullets, taxes bullets, and creates a registry to keep guns out of the wrong hands. They worked closely with all 35 gun show operators in New York to adopt stringent new rules to track sales. It all sounds like, you know, the reasonable background check kind of stuff that 90-something percent of Americans wanted. All firearms are tagged. This sounds like a good idea. Does this sound like common sense? All firearms are tagged at the entrances to gun shows. Operators must provide computer stations for sellers to do national background checks. Guns are checked as they are taken away through a limited number of exits to make sure background checks were performed. No buyers can leave a show without documentation of a proper sale.
Wow.
Operators must also notify local police so they can patrol near shows watching for illegal sales. And for that, she got booed.
Wow.
Which is your...
Die or dirt guy, which way do you go? Die.
Hey, the good news? Mitt Romney finally got his car elevator, everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. He cleared a final hurdle Friday in building that ginormous new house in California that will include, yeah.
No need to ask, it's a car elevator.
Yeah.
Heavens, my long national nightmares have come to an end.
Yeah, it's finally over. Long
finally,
national nightmare of not having a car elevator.
That was just a cloud hanging over
like
La Jolla.
Like he's not going through hardship in this whole shutdown thing. Yikes, that was a close call. 29 minutes after the hour.
I may
have
to go visit my money in the Caymans.
Dean Abadala next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stare, but you're
Stephanie Miller.
You were my boyhood idol. Well, you and Gene the Dancing Machine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. My buddy, my pal Dean Abadala, who is frequently in my box next to me. Well, my box.
That is true.
On the CNN and comedian extraordinaire joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Your piece was so hilarious today because I went to see Gravity over the weekend.
Oh, you did? You saw that one.
Yes. And your piece is stop fact-checking the movies. That you said, can we simply enjoy the movies without having to fact-check every little thing?
Yeah, talking to you, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. Unbelievable. People fact-check science fiction movies now. I'm not sure what... Look, if you want a history lesson, read a book, okay? Come on. Google something.
Listen, and I admit...
You're going to a science fiction movie to learn about science.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
And I admit to this, that I was already bitching about this. I was like, first of all, I was trying to get away from the shutdown, default stress, and that movie was so stressful. And then I was like, oh, that would never happen. That's ridiculous.
And then Neil deGrasse Tyson tweets that Gravity should have been named Angular Momentum because that's more what the movie was like. I'm like, come on. Stop it!
It's a double entendre.
I would not want to be sitting next to you during like Forrest Gump or anything that went through historical times or even Star Wars. I mean, that's what I said in the article.
Right.
I mean, the CNN article that came out today about this guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson, which is a bizarre name.
Right.
But in any event...
He's a well-respected astrophysicist,
He is, apparently, and now a film critic.
Yeah.
Because he tweeted out a barrage of tweets criticizing the movie from, like, the way the debris flowed in the space. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. This is not someone you want to go to Star Wars with.
No.
I mean, how horrible would the movie be? It's like Yoda would have never survived in that atmosphere. Shut up, Neil. I'm spending $15 on popcorn and a soda value combo. I want to escape reality. I don't need you telling me every little thing that's wrong. I mean, people wrote articles about Sandra Bullock's hair would not float like that in zero gravity. Really?
No, nothing would happen like that happened in the movie. Not one thing would happen.
But did you enjoy the movie, or did you not like it?
No, I found it enormously stressful. I didn't realize it was going to be so scary and stressful. I needed a Valium. But I mean,
but you live on.
What do you think Gravity was about? Did you think it was like a romance comedy between the two? I
thought so. Yes, George Clooney was charming.
A rom-com in space. You live on the edge anyway, Stephanie.
I'm not saying it's implausible that someone could get hit by 1,000 pounds of space debris caused by satellite. What was it? A missile?
A satellite being exploded by the Russians
because
they said it was a spy satellite and it wasn't working properly. And then debris flows. Look, debris
flows. And she was able
everywhere.
To fly two different shuttles home based on a manual. Sure, I understand.
I get hit by debris walking the streets of New York City every day. Are you kidding me? It must be. There's no laws. There's no sanitation department. It must be debris everywhere. It must be a big garbage dump up in space.
When she landed in the ocean, I'm like, oh, now she's going to get eaten by a shark. Whatever. What else is going to happen now? Really?
Well, you're right. Everything, that movie, if anyone wants to go see a movie that's quintessential at showing everything that could go wrong does go wrong at every single moment, that's what that movie is. From the first moment all the way to the very last moment, as you're hinting at when she lands on Earth. It's unreal.
I've heard it's basically torture porn in space. It's like Hostel in space.
Right.
But the idea is that we go to the movie, frankly. People go to escape reality. Even if you're stressed during that time, Stephanie, then you're not thinking of Sean Hannity for an hour and a half.
Well,
or
exactly.
These
exactly.
horrible people on the right who are saying crappy stuff. So that's where the escape is. It doesn't always have to be that the movie itself is perfect, but is it entertaining? And that's really the thing. And to me, you know, and I'm a filmmaker now that I made The Muslims Are Coming because I made celebrated.
Nicely
done, I made one
sir.
Documentary. I'm the Spielberg of Muslim comedy documentary makers.
Right.
There.
Right.
But I think you have to defer to the filmmaker. They have a vision, and sometimes they're going to dramatize even in movies based on historical facts. And I talk about The Butler in my article, the Lee Daniels film, which was not real. There was no Cecil Gaines, the man Forrest Whitaker played. It was inspired loosely by a man named Eugene Allen, but this wasn't a biopic. And some people went through it saying, well, this wasn't true, or this wasn't right, or he didn't have two sons, he only had one. Well, guess what? It was fiction. It was not meant to be real. And now, people on the right got upset the way Reagan was portrayed, and they went off on that.
Well,
you know, that's life. You know, you want a director to make a documentary, then you make a documentary. Anything non-documentary, we have to give license to a filmmaker to fulfill their vision, make it entertaining, dramatic, add a scene here and there like they did in Argo. It makes it a better film. That's what we're making.
Right.
Films.
You urge us to go to a movie, log off of Twitter, and silence your phone, and just hush. Hush. We don't want to know that the Death Star is too big to fly at that rate of speed.
And by the way, the definition of a parsec is a unit of distance, not time. So it couldn't have made the Kessel Run in so many parsecs.
Okay.
What
Thank
are you talking
John.
About now? You've got also from the gravity. There's just too much going on. And people sit there. You see people tweeting. I see people tweeting during the movie. I guess they're tweeting about the movie. Maybe it's better than yelling at the screen, but still, it's odd that people have to engage on social media, even in the movie theaters now, and they're doing it quietly. They're not talking out loud or anything, but I see them doing it near me. I'm doing it. I used to do it. I stopped doing it now because I'm like, this is wrong. I'm spending, in New York City, $14 for a movie.
Just, yeah. Yeah, and that's without the value pack, as they call
it, the
overpriced popcorn.
If I bring my lady, you know, I make her pay for herself. That's what I do. I'm old-fashioned. You know, it costs her $14, and it costs her for a soda, but I'm all for equal rights, men and women. Why should I have to pay now? But the point is...
Well, because you are a helper. Your other piece, of course, Ted Cruz is the Miley Cyrus of the Senate. It is time for an intervention. As you say, he's been making Miley look like a camera-shy recluse. It really is. It's more of a fame addiction, isn't it?
I think for Ted Cruz, and that was for the Daily Beast. I worked hard last week because I'm trying to pay bills and not lose my apartment. So I'm writing more regularly now. This is my big thing.
Yes.
Plus doing stand-up. But Ted Cruz... I think he is addicted to fame on some level because he came right. He's only been a senator since January. Within weeks of being in the Senate, he caused a whole controversy with Chuck Hagel in the confirmation hearing, and John McCain even gave him a little smackdown then, going, "Hey, buddy, you can't use innuendo to attack the character of people who are former senators just because you disagree with them on issues." And Hagel was a Republican, so yeah, it is. We're not far from him doing, you know, a nude selfie, I think.
Yeah, or maybe licking the gavel, Miley, right.
Miley, maybe he'll have his tongue out at a press conference,
Ew.
You know, like have a tank top that he just tears away in the middle of it, something like that. horrible things. But let's be honest, Ted Cruz will do anything to get press. I think the guys in the Senate who don't like him see that side of him. It's not about effectuating change on any level. It's really about promoting Ted Cruz. That's the business this guy was elected to. That's what he's in. He's in the Ted Cruz business, not the United States of America business.
Who was it that was on with us last week, Chris, that was saying, you know, who was a D.C. insider, but said you cannot overestimate the how people hate him, Republicans and Democrats.
Well, they don't like the Republicans. There's some little jealousy, but I think they see him honestly. You can't get away from a guy who does, you know, it's his first term in Senate, and within 6 months he does a 21-hour filibuster. I mean, it's an all-night media binge. The guy is binging on fame. We have to do something to him. I don't know, and I blame the people of Texas. They're enablers. They elected him. They didn't know the monster they were creating. And, you know, as I talk about his 21-hour speech was incoherent. It ranged from Nazi Germany to reading Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham. It's a cry for help, people. Ted Cruz needs help.
What? You know, obviously we've had all kinds of different opinions, but how do you see this playing out this week?
This week, I think that I already see the spit. Certain responsible members of the Senate, and the House has kind of gone from the negotiations, apparently, but responsible members of the Senate are saying, Democrats and Republicans, we're going to make a deal by October 17th. But now you start seeing people saying things in the media that, in reality, October 17th isn't really the deadline for somehow us defaulting on everything. It's sort of like the end of wiggle room. Maybe it's a week or two later, and then you can see, perhaps, cuts and benefits for people, like real hard-hitting things. I mean, imagine they started cutting Social Security payments. There would be a march, a slow march, but a march on Washington by people who want their Social Security benefits. I mean, it would be insane if that were to happen. They're going to make a deal. They have to make a deal. We can't truly default. This is long-term consequences on our standing fiscally and being able to borrow money from other countries, to be able to get people to invest in our bonds. It would be traumatic, and these guys just... It's gamemanship, gamemanship, gamemanship. It's posturing to no end.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, we've got China clearing their throat behind us. Holy.
Well, the only good thing is America is the best game in town still financially. I mean, Europe is not doing great. You know, where else are you going to really invest? You're not going to, you know, Russia, I don't think many people are going to, who have a lot of money, are going to invest there. So we're lucky like that. We're lucky we're not Greece or a smaller country where you can go like, you know what, I'm not putting any money there anymore.
Yeah.
But... You know,
yeah.
Tough times.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Good times for comedy. Okay.
Dean
Abadala, great stuff as usual. See you in the TV machine.
I hope so.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right.
Love you. Bye. Speaking of the TV machine, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell was listening last week and tweeted me, and I tweeted him back.
Yes, you
and
did.
And now look out, because I have Twitter on my phone. I'm going to start tweeting myself.
I put it on your phone for you.
I'm going to start drunk tweeting Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, God, don't
later
do that.
At night.
Please don't.
Did you see he tweeted back when I said I have one last word for Lawrence O'Donnell, dreamy, sigh, hair twirl, and he tweeted back, if only I had hair to twirl. Oh, he's so cute. He's cute. Funny. Okay, I'm just saying, I think maybe Chris Hayes listens to the show because he tweeted, White House should make this their ringback tone for all incoming calls from Capitol Hill.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
All right. Let's go to Robert in San Francisco. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, the reason I was calling, because I was reading an article here about Elizabeth Cohen. She works for CNN.
Where's that article?
She's part of their, I can't remember where I found out. I was just scanning through the internet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she was basically stating she's been trying to sign up under this Affordable Health Care Act the last 2 weeks, and she hasn't been able to log on. And the thing that was kind of disconcerting to me was the fact that our government didn't. I live here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people that are engineers in the Silicon Valley.
Oh.
I've listened to a lot of people.
Oh, you have.
Engineers. And the thing that they don't understand is that this whole website was built with a Canadian company. The original estimate was $93 million to build it, which they say is completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
But the price has exceeded $634 million to build this website.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you look at Facebook, for example, even since 2004, they probably have more than 1 billion users worldwide, and they don't have the glitches and the problems.
You see, Facebook doesn't.
Website has
Facebook doesn't have to tie together entire sections of the United States government into one site. You see, that's part of the problem they're having, and they're increasing server space as we speak.
You don't seem to understand. He lives in Silicon Valley, where he talks to experts in this every day, and he read an article in addition.
Mm-hmm. Well, he lives in California, where coveredca.com, which is our exchange here, works beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't understand.
He has
no
problems.
A small business owner
He's talked to every engineer in the Silicon Valley, and they all told him
that Obamacare is a crock.
The cost
he should just negotiate with the Republicans.
70 gajillion, and now it's 40 to Pajunjin. And he read also an article, also too, in addition.
But he couldn't remember where he saw it.
Right.
It was an article somewhere about a gal
that had a hard time.
I think it was
She was a CNN reporter.
Right. Because he likes to listen to both sides.
Sure.
And CNN tries to be up the middle.
Sure. Both sides, from the right and the far right.
Right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Ed in Detroit. Hi, Ed. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to offer, I'm a Tea Party guy, and I want to offer our Tea Party view that I think has been misrepresented on your show.
Okay.
Mainly, we're concerned about our kids' future. We see our government that is over $17 trillion in debt today, and we have over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And we're spending $300 to $400 billion a year to pay the interest on our debt. And think of the millions of doctors, teachers, and schools and hospitals that could build. I mean, we need to start focusing on this because that is a problem.
What would you cut?
Well, what I would do is I'd go back to the if you want to reach a compromise, I would go back to Clinton's last year when the federal government was 18% of GDP. Now it's up to over 25% of GDP. I think that would be a good starting point.
Well, the deficit is falling at the fastest level since, I believe, right post the Korean War. So, I mean, when we keep talking about out-of-control spending, the deficit is coming down at record levels. You know that.
Well, I know that it's come down since the sequester, so maybe that's some positive aspect of the sequester. But the problem is the unfunded liabilities that we're not addressing. That's Social Security and Medicare, and now we've doubled down on it with Obamacare.
Right, but they don't want to fix those things. They want to decimate them.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right, they want to destroy them because they hate that
socialist
stuff.
And we're not in crisis. We should do something long-term to address it.
But the crisis that we have is coming up on Thursday.
Yes, you go.
If we default.
Yeah, first things first.
Yeah.
It'd be like you're about to go off the cliff, and you're like, you know what? I think the oil is low. Should we do something about that now? Or it's like, fuck, we're going. Shit. Okay. Representative Devin Nunez of California.
The president has rejected every offer that we've made, and so we're going to, I guess, wait to see what the Senate comes up with.
And that's the guy that called his colleagues lemmings and wearing suicide vests.
Yep.
That guy.
Wow.
Oh, which is, by the way, what got me on Newsbusters and Breitbart and Hannity's show. As Stephanie Miller said, the Republicans want to blow your children up because...
Yeah.
See, I was... just quoting him and other people. I meant politically.
Yeah.
They are suicide
bombers. I think Newsbusters should take a literature class or something to figure out what a metaphor
yes.
is.
They did not feature that Republican guy. That's weird. Because he said, Which, by the way, someone sent me this, so I'm debating on Michael Medved from the right-wing station in Chicago there.
You are.
November 7th. John sends it to me. Oh, this is the one from the right-wing station. They sent a blast out. Glad to see you're coming back to Chicago. Why debate an unarmed man, though? Yeah, poor Michael's.
Oh.
He was on the show, and they got nothing. How do you defend this party? It's Stephanie Miller versus Michael Medved at the Great Debate 3 on November 7th at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows. Tickets start at just $25. You can go to our station's website, because look what
Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com.
They write, it was Stephanie Miller who called House Republican suicide bombers for their efforts to stop Obamacare. Click here to see what she said. Don't let her get away with this. We need as many patriotic conservatives, Tea Partiers, and Libertarians as we can get to show up and support Michael Medved as he takes on Stephanie Miller. This is your chance to sit across the aisle from several hundred liberals and show them what you believe. Tickets will be sell out, so don't let the liberals fill up the room. All right. Listen, liberals, go
to Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com and get your tickets now.
Hey, remember that...
Overtake Mama, for God's sake.
Remember
sakes.
The guy who was trying to do a Wolf Blitzer that fewer than 10 people have signed up for Obamacare?
Right.
That's Howard Buck McKeon from California's 25th Congressional District.
That guy.
Very Republican area, Porter Ranch, Simi Valley, and all that stuff. Well, my brother-in-law, Evan Thomas, is throwing his hat in the ring and is going to run against Buck McKeon.
What?
Apparently
what?
Everybody hates him. Running as a Democrat, his great strength, however, is that he's a decorated combat veteran, flew F-16s in the Gulf War,
Head
of the F-22 squadron, and so now he's going to go into politics. So those of you
vote
for
Jim's brother-in-law. Yeah. I think he should go with that.
Evan Thomas.
Yeah, you're the voice, Steve.
Porter Ranch, Simi Valley, talking to you.
Just saying, if I had some advice for him, Jim, he should put your name bigger on the thing. Vote Jim Ward's brother-in-law.
There
and
we
then
go.
His name, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's the voice deities, bro. Okay.
Well, in that case.
I'm in. All right. Kids, you know, it's time once again to play our favorite show, What Does Fox News Say?
Mm-hmm.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, Ted Cruz goes, cow goes moo, frog goes crow, and our Danilo, she goes. Bird loves, and Russ goes slut.
And you're a slut, right?
And the wax fat guy goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does Fox News say? What does Fox News say? What does Fox say?
Wow.
Wow, that was a cacophony. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right, speaking of which, we're going to post on Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
My new mama's new 2-minute like sizzle reel, pundit sizzle reel.
Yeah, your little sampler.
Right, my little sampler thing. And I will let you know where I'll be appearing this week. It's generally Ed Schultz, and also I sometimes have to go into, what's it called, the Lion's Den on Jane Velez Mitchell headline.
JVM.
Right.
What does JVM say?
I don't know. She's terrifying. Okay. Also, in the big sexy liberal announcement this week, we had a box office snafu Friday, but the big announcement will be this week. We'll let you know as soon as we can. One more, a drunk stack for John Boner.
Okay.
Woman to 911, I'm too drunk to get out of my car.
Oh, she sounds like a future wife for you.
Yes, in Billings, Montana. She called 911. They asked if she was having medical or mechanical issues, and she says she just replied, I'm too drunk. That's drunk when you can't get out of your car. That's
I don't know how to wreck the door.
Just, like, blast the thing and fall. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.